This is Audible.
Dark Elves, Dragons, and Dinosaurs. Written by Amanda Lash. Narrated by Mara J. Eden. Amy and the Ankylosaurus. Chapter 1. Amy had always thought of an Ankylosaurus as cute and kind of cuddly. But life-size and in the wild, she realized small relative to a dinosaur was still as tall as her and scary as hell. The club-like tail lashed out at her head, and she just barely ducked in time for it to smash into a nearby tree, demolishing it and sending splinters that strafed her dress, tearing bits of it away and revealing other bits. "This can't be happening," she said aloud, hoping she could make reality shift back to when the world made sense. Approximately 16 hours ago, that's when her scientist ex-boyfriend told her of his plan to win her back. She was a museum curator, managing exhibits and leading the occasional tour. She loved the museum ever since she was a child, and her mother would lead her by the hand, pointing out the giant whales suspended by immense hooks and chains that she always secretly feared would one day come crashing down on them as they snacked on grilled cheese sandwiches and French fries. She would furtively steal looks at the giant cetacean, making sure it wasn't teetering or tottering en route to a crushing fall. She'd met Magnus in college, the only person she knew with a double major in quantum physics and paleontology. But Magnus was a unique individual in so many ways. "I know how to make things right between us," he declaimed, catching her hand and pulling her away from her tour group. "I'll be right back," she said to the startled group of families and the lonely people who frequented museums on the weekends. "What are you doing here?" she yelled at him in hushed tones.
"I'm here to win you back," he hushed back at her.
His cheeks were flushed as if he'd run to her, overwhelmed with excitement and passion.
"So you've learned to be honest, communicate your feelings, and not stick your dick in my sister?"
she shot back, not at all in a hushed tone. She could hear the cessation of conversation in the group as they focused their attention on this no longer private conversation.
"No, no, and maybe," Magnus said breezily.
"You are such a jerk."
"Noted. Now, do you want to hear what I have to say?"
"No, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I really thought I'd made that perfectly clear. But maybe if I write that on the back of a restraining order, it'll sink in better."
"What if I could make your wildest dreams come true?"
"You're going to step in front of the F train or pee on the third rail while the subway rockets towards you?"
"Not while sober. But put the righteous indignation, good as it looks on you, on hold for just 1 minute. Please?"
Amy tried to remember when her arrogant, prideful, sometimes brilliant ex-boyfriend had last used the word please and drew a blank. She folded her arms and bit her lip. With a flush of pleasure, she noticed how that completely wrecked his concentration. Not just his surprise at her actually acceding to his request, but she knew that pout-and-bite-her-lip expression had always turned him on, and apparently still very much did. But the motor of a mind that seemed to never truly stop moved past the hiccup her pout had caused, and he sped on.
"I can take you to a place where dinosaurs exist."
"Of course you can. We're right here, adjacent to the dinosaur exhibit. It's the next stop on the tour."
"Live dinosaurs."
"Since when did you switch over to studying chaos theory?" she said in a snide reference to the Jeff Goldblum character in Jurassic Park.
"I'm not talking about producing clones and letting them run rampant through New York City, fun as that might be for my next project. No, I'm talking about a way to go to the actual dinosaurs in their natural milieu."
"Time travel? You have a device that lets you travel through time without stopping at the mental hospital you just escaped from?"
"Great. We've gone from righteous indignation to withering sarcasm in 30 seconds. A new record, even for you."
"And you've gone from arrogant to bugfuck crazy in even less. Looks like we're both setting personal bests today."
"Look, just come down to the basement lab after the exhibits close up and you can see what I'm talking about. And then tell me if I'm crazy."
"Yeah, I want to be alone with you after everyone's gone home."
"Are you saying you're afraid of me?"
He appeared genuinely startled.
"No,"
she huffed after making him wait and suffer a little. Until you dragged me today, I can't think of any time you've put your hands on me against my will or made me even think you would.
Please, I invented something. Something I think will give you what you've always wanted. It's my way of saying sorry and trying to show you I'm worthy of you, despite all the ways I've come up short and or been a total D-bag.
Fine, Amy huffed against her better judgment.
Chapter 2. Trying not to blush too much, she led her tour and tried to ignore most of the whispered comments.
With a sister,
she heard one elderly Jewish lady say to her friend in what she clearly thought was a whisper.
With a twister?
Asked the friend, who was as hard of hearing as the first lady and clueless about how sound carries. Amy tried to focus on how funny it was, rather than be mortally embarrassed. At the end, she paused as usual to ask for questions.
Who was that?
Asked a little girl about 11 years old.
My ex-boyfriend, she said candidly.
He seems like a jerk,
the little girl said.
He kind of is, Amy agreed. Any other questions?
Are you going to take him back?
Asked one of the elderly Jewish ladies.
No way, Amy said. Any dinosaur questions?
She asked archly.
What's your favorite dinosaur? Asked a little boy.
The Ankylosaurus,
Amy said, sans hesitation.
Mine's Triceratops, he said proudly.
That's very nice, too. What do you like about them?
They've got three horns, and they can just rip out the guts of a T-Rex and show him who's boss.
Oh, that's some very colorful language.
Tommy, his mother put in.
That's some very colorful language, Tommy.
Yeah, if I had three horns, I could show people that they can't just pick on me because I'm younger and smaller, like my older brother. He's bigger and acts like a T-Rex, and Mom got real upset when I butted him in the stomach with my head.
Okay, I think we've gone beyond our time limit, but that was a great job of applying your knowledge of dinosaurs to modern-day life. People think the past is gone, but it never is, and our knowledge of it, including dinosaurs, is the key to our future. Remember, the car or bus you came here on is powered by dinosaurs.
Really?
The little boys all oohed, and the younger girls all made disgusted noises. Of course, they knew that wasn't true, but boys would believe anything.
Chapter 3.
This better be good,
she demanded, stomping into the laboratory.
I'm doing well. Nice to see you, too, said her friend Helen.
Sorry, Helen. I didn't think there'd be anyone else in here. Magnus told me I had to come see him down here after I finished up. What's he up to?
Honestly, I have less of a clue than usual what his craziness is working on. After all, I'm only the junior research fellow, after all. What did he tell you?
All the usual. He's going to win me back by making all my dreams come true.
He's going to step in front of the F train?
That's exactly what I said.
Jinx,
Helen said, sticking her tongue out at her friend. Helen had three doctorates, but still retained her playful side. She was probably Amy's best friend, though she'd stopped coming downstairs to visit at work since the breakup with Magnus.
Well, I'll leave you alone to work things out, shall I?
We're not working things out.
Helen just shot her a wink and a wry expression and lit out.
Humph,
she said and crossed her arms.
You're so cute when you humph, Magnus said.
You're going to look cute with your balls pulled up over your ears if this is just some pretext to get me alone.
It's not.
And I'd like to hear some begging for my forgiveness before you show me anything.
I'm not good at begging,
Magnus started.
Try practicing. No time like the present.
Fine, he growled. He got down on his knees. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I didn't make you feel special and loved every day. I'm sorry I forgot you at times when I got wrapped up in my work. And I'm sorry about getting drunk with your sister and what happened after, even though I really enjoyed it at the time. I mean, you have similar builds, but she really has. Noting her expression, he cut short his overly honest digression. And I'm just really sorry, and I want to make it up to you, if you'll give me another chance. I swear it.
empty words,
she said dismissively. But inside she thawed slightly. She'd been waiting a long time to hear him abase himself and beg her forgiveness, and even if it hadn't been as perfect as she'd played over in her mind, it wasn't a bad start.
True, Magnus conceded. But if you give me time, I can back them up. But for now, I can show you something real, something tangible that I've done to prove my love and devotion.
Right, the time machine.
No, not the time. It's impossible for something with mass to go back to the past. At least, not at a non-quantum level. The past has happened. If you could go back, all of causality would be unhinged, and we'd be in some right-wing Fox News-type world where events have no causes. And that's just the philosophical objections. Suppose you did try to displace yourself in time. Where would you physically travel to? The Earth is constantly moving, so you'd end up drifting in space more likely than not if you went to the exact same special location you were in. And if not, then you need a mechanism to travel physical distance, and remember that's impressively large as well as through the time dimension. No, 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 totally impossible.
But you said dinosaurs and not clones.
I know what I said, but I didn't say our world. You can't go to the past, but there are alternate universes, as posited by quantum physics, where the Ice Age didn't lead to a mammalian revolution, and where sans-thumb dinosaurs still rule the world.
True, I remember reading that there's a theory that every single possibility is branched out in a quantum universe somewhere. So what? It's just a thought experiment, like Schrodinger's cat.
That's a thought experiment? No wonder I never got anywhere with it. And all those dead cats, he muttered.
What? She asked, not quite hearing anything except cats.
Nothing. Anyway, yes, it's a thought experiment. Till now.
Chapter 4. With a flourish, Magnus pulled a white sheet off and revealed some clunky machine that appeared half laser, half microfiche machine.
Ooh, she said in mock awe. You found a way to breed a laser and a microfiche machine.
No, what are you talking about? It does kind of look like that, doesn't it?
A little bit, Amy agreed.
Well, it's not, Magnus said.
So it's a teleporter that lets you travel to an alternate universe? Amy asked.
No, of course not. What, are you insane? A teleporter, at least like the kind in Star Trek, breaks you down to your component molecules and then transports those molecules somewhere else and instructs them to reform in their original configuration. Basically, it kills you and then creates an exact duplicate in a way not unlike a very complex 3D printer.
So?
Well, if I took a very expensive Ming Dynasty original vase, gave it to you, then smashed it to a paste, put the paste into a 3D printer that put out a Ming Dynasty vase that looked exactly like the one you just had, what do you have? An authentic original piece of the past? Or a very, very good facsimile that's actually worthless?
I don't know. What does that have to do with teleportation?
That it destroys the original, and whatever you have that comes back with all the old memories is something new, but your you-ness, the configuration of thoughts, awareness, and memories, has died. So unless you have a death wish, you kill any motherfucker who tries to put you in a fucking teleporter. That's what I did.
You mean that's what you'd do if that ever happened in some sci-fi future world?
Amy asked, trying to follow the conversation.
Sure, Magnus said breezily, trying to recover his composure. Anyway, to save you a lot of scientific exposition you wouldn't understand, this just punches a hole in the fabric of space-time, at least to the extent that there is a separation between alternate universes, which most scientists posit are actually nestled inside each other, eliminating the need to cross distance.
You know, talking down to me isn't helping you get back together with me.
Do you understand the idea of a fifth-dimensional figure called a tesseract?
Like in A Wrinkle in Time, she asked.
Well, yes, exactly.
No, she said honestly. Is that a real thing?
It's real in the sense it's an abstract geometrical shape and thought experiment, but it's not a way to travel. But it would visually illustrate certain concepts.
Can you just show me the dinosaurs?
Amy asked impatiently.
That's what I was trying.
Magnus smoothed his hair, which was actually kind of nice for a scientist. Brown, but not dull, and neatly styled. With a significant amount of effort, he could pass for a hipster in the right outfit, if the lighting was dim enough. He was also tall, and despite knowing the shallowness of that, she still preferred tall men. And slender. She'd never really met a corpulent scientist, though she was sure they existed. Something about living so much in the mind made them forget to eat at least once a week. Though Helen had the sense to meet her for cheesecake at least once a week. And there were so many great places to eat cheesecake in New York, just not in the museum cafeteria, which could be used to great effect with the ancient sling from Judea kept in the vaults of the museum, as it was too valuable to be displayed. Since she wasn't a scientist, and almost never forgot to eat, she made sure to put in an hour at the gym 4 nights a week, which had gone up to 6 since the breakup. Knowing you're looking hotter and how that must torture the guy you've broken up with is one of the few satisfactions of a fractured relationship. What I'm going to do is create a portal so we can see into this other alternate universe, but it's very important we only watch, okay? Amy nodded absently, focusing on his lips. They really were sexy. And talented, as she recalled. Maybe she would give him a second chance. He really was going all out to impress her with this absurd story about a quantum invention or something. She saw him flick a switch, and then an ineffable frisson passed through her from head to toe, and she turned towards the wall where he was staring in wide-eyed terror. In incredibly realistic HD 3D, she saw a prehistoric panorama, and an allosaur, a poor man's T-Rex, was charging straight towards them. Apparently, the director had gone with the consensual scientific belief that they chased hunkered down rather than straight up like a human, even though they ran on 2 legs, as the spindly arms, relatively, they were still thicker than a man's waist, couldn't support their weight the way a bear's could. Committing to the pretense this was real, Magnus pulled her to his side behind the lab bench and put himself in front of her, picking up what looked like a giant cattle prod, and bravely waved it at the widescreen TV that must be embedded in the wall. He then pressed a button, and he must have practiced the timing, because as visible electric current launched at the screen, the image of the dinosaur reared up as if startled and turned sharply, crashing through enormous underbrush and was quickly off screen. Amy applauded the performance.
That was amazing.
Right, I just saved our lives, the lab, the museum, and my job. He wiped visible sweat off his brow.
I meant the show. How long did you spend coordinating all this?
What are you talking about?
Chapter 5
You know, the HD 3D screen embedded in the wall. Man, it's really thin. I can't even see the edges. Practicing the timing so you can make that light show just as the allosaur turns away? That was great! And what movie is this? Oh, gross! The allosaur just bit into a stegosaurus! Man, they look so fast in this video! Oh, God, it's eating his intestines! What kind of movie is this?
It's not a movie! Amy, listen to me. This isn't a bit. That's a real portal. I was very afraid the allosaur was going to step through and cost me you, my life, and my job, and yes, in that order.
That's really romantic, and I appreciated the way you stepped in front of me. But come on, this giant cattle prod? I know it's just a harmless light show, or it would have wrecked the HD 3D TV. I mean, try and be realistic.
She picked it up and was surprised at the weight. Even as much as she worked out, it took both her arms to keep it cradled against her chest. Nonetheless, she pointed it at him, and he did a really good job of looking scared as hell. "Please don't touch that button," he said, putting both his arms up, both as if to protect himself and asking her to give it to him.
"Come on, this is too much."
She turned it towards one of the lab stools, took a heroic, or was that heroinic for a female, and pressed the button as he had. Again, the visible bright blue current arced towards the target, but then she saw the heavily charged and heated metal legs of the lab stool fuse to the hard cement of the basement floor.
But how didn't that melt the wall screen?
She muttered. Because there is no wall screen, no TV, Real portal, real allosaur. Now give it to me before you melt any more furniture. Much more cautiously and carefully, she handed the device back to him. He took it equally carefully, always monitoring the screen. Well, portal, she guessed, out of the corner of his eye.
So that's really a portal to an alternate quantum universe? She asked.
More or less, he said.
Cool,
she said with admirable aplomb. Then she yelled out, Dinosaurs! At the top of her lungs and waving her arms in excitement, she dashed through the portal and into her dreams. Well, fuck, Magnus said eloquently.
Chapter 6. Amy couldn't contain her excitement. She was totally freaking out. There was that same frisson she'd felt when the portal opened, only 10 times stronger when she passed through into the dense, moist air of the new world. Her high-heeled, strappy shoes immediately sunk deep into the muddy ground, and she had to step out of them. She barely noticed. The air was warm, too. Much warmer than fall in New York, and her white shirt immediately began to stick to her body, making her wish she'd worn a bra. But she spared no thoughts to modesty as she watched intensely, fascinated and disgusted as the allosaur continued to rip open the carcass of the stegosaurus she'd saw it kill and root around for more muscle, flesh, and organs to consume. She lost all track of time staring at the macabre scene, but it probably wasn't that long before she was jostled out of it by Magnus shaking her arm. Amy! Amy, snap out of it! This isn't a nature show. He might have friends.
Allosauri don't hunt in packs. Solitary hunters, like Bengal tigers, she responded automatically, her gaze still transfixed.
Good to know, he said. But there are plenty of other predators and mosquitoes as big as hawks, so let's get back to the lab. I don't even know how long the portal will stay open. It takes a lot of power, and I've never let it run this long before.
Oh, Amy said, nonplussed.
She blinked her eyes. She imagined being stuck here. No more Helen, no more cheesecake, and a lifespan of around 2 days.
Let's go back, then.
Good idea, agreed Magnus, rolling his eyes. God, he could be smug sometimes, Amy thought. You go first. Run back to the portal.
Where is it?
Right behind you. Can't you see the outline of the lab?
No,
she said.
What? He ejaculated, turning rapidly around. No, it's there, plain as day. You were fucking with me again, weren't you?
Little bit, she confessed.
Go. I'll cover you.
But...
Go, he said manfully. Arguing wouldn't get them home any faster, so glad once again that she'd shed the heels, she ran, knowing the motion would make her well-formed ass bounce delightfully in her tight, sweat-drenched slacks as she ran, maybe exaggerating the motion just a tad for Magnus's edification. Magnus waited a few moments to make sure there were no predatory dinosaurs attracted by her running, then a few more moments of his own being attracted by her running. Then began his own much less appealing jog, his top gear, towards the portal, the lab, home, and the relative safety of New York City. Then he heard Amy's squeal of joy and saw her shapely ass swerve and cursed loudly and colorfully enough to make his father, who had been a bosun in the Navy, proud.
Chapter 7. It wasn't that Amy didn't understand the gravity of the situation, but she had been running to the lab when she'd seen her favorite dinosaur ever, the Ankylosaurus, munching on plants only about 100 feet from the portal. She had to take a slight detour and pet one or she'd never forgive herself. From the sound of Magnus swearing behind her, he might never forgive her now that she had. Well, she could live with that. She was still about 15% mad at him. This dinosaur thing had made up for a lot, and the sexiness of his lips and his forceful demeanor lately had also helped. She liked a confident guy, like so many girls. Though the line between confident and complete asshole was a shifting gradient that was still learning to navigate.
Oh, she cooed as she stroked the shell and tail of the adorable 6-foot-tall shelled giant reptile from another dimension.
And then she just barely ducked as the tail lashed out at her head, shattering the tree behind her, wood chips strafing her shirt and revealing the contents.
But he's a good dinosaur,
Amy protested as Magnus came running up to her as the Ankylosaurus lazily shifted his body around to face them.
No, he isn't, Magnus corrected. There's a difference between not being a predator and being good, or helpful, or unwilling to idly beat us to death with his tail.
Oh,
Amy said, comprehension dawning. Just her luck to find the one prick Ankylosaurus in the alternate universe jungle. When it came to males of any species, it was a talent she had. Even her cat was completely self-absorbed and uncaring. Well, of course, what cat wasn't, so she supposed she couldn't really credit her talent for that.
No drifting into self-pity, Magnus said, giving her arm another shake.
Right,
she said. The Ankylosaur was regarding them with dull, placid eyes, which incredibly were just about eye level with her. Unthinkingly, she reached out her hand and scratched behind the ear hole like she would have with her cat. The dinosaur made a throbbing, lizardly purr beneath her touch. Magnus reached for her waist, found his arm brushing against other more enticing flesh in the wake of her torn shirt, then moved down to her waist and pulled her around behind him, turning her and pushing her towards the lab. This elicited an angry, throaty sound from the giant reptile, who swished his club-like tail threateningly.
"Stay back,"
Magnus said, holding his electric prod before him like a talisman.
"Magnus!"
Amy yelled. A quick glance confirmed she was almost at the portal. The Ankylosaur continued to advance on him, menacing and apparently angry at the deprivation of head-scratching. He pressed the button on the giant electric prod and waited for a wash of electric current to discourage the advancing creature. A faint fizzling and low electric hum was all that was forthcoming. The intense humidity had probably gummed up the works.
"Time to run like hell,"
he thought to himself and turned, hoping that the beast was as slow as it looked. It turned out it wasn't. It was getting closer, and he was already finding it hard to keep up the pace. A several-ton reptile was beating him in a foot race, proving his every P.E. teacher right about the importance of running and his utter failure at it. He was going to die because he hadn't worked hard enough in gym.
"Irony, you utter whore,"
he said to himself, his lips quirking in what he figured was his last bitterly sardonic smile. At least Amy was safe, and she'd remember him fondly, not as the prick who slept with her sister. That was worth something. Not his life, ideally, but something. As his lungs burned and he knew he couldn't move another step, he could focus on that. Chapter 8
"Get away from him, you big meanie!"
Magnus heard Amy's voice, but not from the lab behind the portal, close, right nearby. He looked up to see Amy had run back to his side and was waving her tiny fist at the giant, turtle-like creature.
"Amy, what are you doing?"
"Saving your cheating hide, apparently."
The damned Ankylosaur had ceased its charge at Amy's unlikely reprimand, and now was letting her scratch its damned head again. This was ridiculous. Everyone liked Amy. Well, except for her stupid cat, who hated everyone and him in particular.
"We don't have time for this. You shouldn't have come back for me."
"So you'd rather have been trampled flat?"
"Well, no."
"Then just say thank you and walk slowly away."
"What about you?"
"I'll follow you and see if Anki here will be a good boy and let me go."
"But..."
She leaned in and kissed him lightly on the lips, always a good way to shut him up when needed, which was often.
"Trust me."
Hating himself, but seeing no other option, he went. He glanced around, but the lizard was still rumbling contentedly under her ministrations. But he knew that if he got on the other side of the portal before it died, he could recharge it and open it up again inside an hour. If it died beforehand, then both of them were stuck here for a lifespan, presumably to be measured in minutes. He didn't even dare look back until he passed through the portal. He didn't even dare look back until he passed through the portal. He turned around and saw Amy heading to the portal, the Ankylosaur following doggedly at her heels. He had no idea what they would do if the dinosaur followed her through the portal, but as long as she got back safely, he felt they could figure it out, maybe even get rich in the process. Amy was 10 feet away, 5, and 1, and then with an electronic whine, the view of the woman he loved and her rainforest backdrop completely disappeared, leaving only a blank beige laboratory wall. A door to the lab opened and a cheerful voice inquired,
"Well, how badly did it go?"
"Devastatingly," was all he could say, and he slumped down the lab bench and put his head in his hands and cried. Chapter 9. Amy felt a tangible spasm of fear seize her body, and her knees went weak. She didn't know it, but as she collapsed to the ground, her posture mirrored that of her boyfriend. It was her own fault, too. They'd both be safe if she'd listened to him. Hell, if she'd never gone through the portal in the first place, she'd be safe. Of course, then she'd never have touched a dinosaur, but she'd be alive. She was alive now, of course, but she didn't know anything about foraging in the wilderness, still less about how to build a shelter. All she had was one reasonably amicable ankylosaurus, and who knew how long that relationship would last, and one of the more hostile environments her world had ever known.
"I thought he'd never leave."
What part of her traitorous subconscious had that thought come from? She had no time to further ponder the workings of her inner monologue, because the allosaur looked up from the remains of the stegosaur and was surprised to find a little mystery appetizer next to the ankylosaurus, the jumbo prawn of the Cretaceous period. Smoothly and quickly, but not charging, the allosaur loped towards them, and it was over twice the height of Tyson Chandler, whom she once saw play at Madison Square Garden. And it had more teeth and bigger than that shark from Universal Studios in Florida. It was scary as hell. And her, by comparison, little companion stepped forward, interposing his body between her and the predator, effectively blocking her from view. She stepped back a little further, getting out of the range of that whipping ball-and-chain tail. Her inner little girl was doing backflips despite her fears. An actual dinosaur fight. She was going to witness an actual dinosaur fight. The allosaur had made short work of the large stegosaurus, but was cut and still bleeding in spots from that battle. So being fresh presumably gave Anki the edge, she hoped. While she had no idea whether his docility towards her, as contrasted with his active animosity towards Magnus, would continue, it was better than the drooling appetite the allosaur, the stomach that moved, represented. The ankylosaurus lashed out at the thigh of the allosaur like a Muay Thai kickboxer in a UFC cage fight. The allosaur just took it and then bit down hard, but was unable to penetrate the thick, spiky shell. Nonetheless, it lifted it up with its teeth. That had to be painful for the gums, and tossed it. She couldn't believe something as large as Anki could fly through the air like a Brobdingnagian frisbee, but there he flew.
"Oh!"
she yelled, running, screaming as the giant carnivore chased after her. Chapter 10. "So fire up the portal and bring Amy back," Helen said reasonably, trying to get Magnus back from the fetal shape he'd collapsed into.
"I can't."
"Why not?" "The machine's overheated. If I fired it up now, it might slag itself. It needs at least 30 minutes to cool down."
"Make it cooler in here, then. Speed up the process."
"It's already practically freezing in here."
"Pack it in ice?"
"Because moisture is so good for electronics, what kind of scientist are you?"
"Paleontologist, same as you."
"I studied physics as well."
"But you're not working as a physicist, are you?"
"Well, no, but I do in my spare time."
"Which is how you got my best friend trapped in a dinosaur world. And the only reason I'm not removing your testicles with a pair of cuticle scissors is because I don't know how to operate the machine to get her back. But if you don't..."
"You and I have an appointment with your best pair of, what was it, cuticle scissors? They're really dull, aren't they?"
"Yep, so it takes longer."
"Hypothetically, right?"
"Sure," Helen agreed breezily.
Chapter 11. Amy ran and ran, grateful for all those hours on the treadmill and elliptical, as her shirt clung even tighter to her tits. She was glad Magnus wasn't here to gawk,
Well, no one was. And the cut-rate T-Rex was one male that was more interested in what was inside than in her appearance. Downside was he wanted to devour what was on the inside. She felt the creature bearing down on her and threw herself to the ground as those sharp teeth and immense jaws snapped at empty air 3 feet above her as the reptile sped by. It tried to stop on a dime and the damaged thigh gave out and it sank to the ground. But it slithered to her just like a Komodo dragon, and she screamed in terror as jaw first it closed the distance. Those foot-long teeth grew closer, maw wide open, when a tail like a wrecking ball smashed into the side of that massive cranium. A human would have been incredibly concussed and brain-damaged if the skull didn't just crack open like an eggshell. But dinosaur skulls were made of sterner stuff, and the Allosaur reared up on its damaged legs and bit down again at her armored protector. But Anki struck again and again at the legs of the Allosaur till it fled, limped away.
"Oh, Anki," she said, throwing her arms around her protector.
He was hurt and bleeding. The Allosaur hadn't managed to penetrate the shell, but his neck, legs, and tail had been savaged by the teeth and the toss. She removed what was left of her sodden clothing and wrapped it around some of the worst cuts. She cooed to the dinosaur the entire time, trying to help him relax and forget his injuries. But instead, Anki just grew more and more agitated and growled at her if she stopped scratching his head or petting him. So she just kept up her ministerings to him, using what little remained of her clothing as wet towels to snap and flick away the insects from Anki's cuts, and to a lesser extent her own. They just weren't interested in mammalian flesh here.
"Amy!"
she heard from a distance. She looked and didn't see anything. It had to be Magnus, but she didn't see the lab behind her. Then she realized she had no idea where the portal would be, since being chased and running pell-mell through the brush trying to escape.
"Polo!"
she yelled out.
"Amy!"
she heard yelled louder than before.
"Polo!"
she yelled out again. She started to move towards the voice, but Anki began flipping his tail violently, which looked a little humorous as it had bits of her skirt and shirt wrapped around it fluttering like a flag.
"Amy, where are you?"
The voice was not only getting louder, it was getting closer.
"Magnus, what are you doing? Get back in the lab!"
"Not without you," he said.
"If he did, honey, I told him I'd cut his balls off."
"With cuticle scissors,"
Magnus added.
"Helen, what are you doing here?"
"Gaping in wonder, mostly. Keep talking, we're following your voice."
"And blood trails,"
Magnus put in.
"Shut up, Magnus," Helen said.
Anki grew even more agitated at the return of Magnus. Helen cooed and stroked her protector at the return of her mad scientist ex and best friend.
"Helen!"
she exclaimed and ran to embrace her friend, who returned the embrace without discomfort, despite her bloody, sweat-soaked, naked state.
"Amy, I was so worried about you."
Amy felt moist tears dampen her neck, and her own tears ran into Helen's coppery locks.
"I thought I'd never see you again,"
both girls said at the same time.
"Excuse me, ladies," Magnus said. "I hate to break up a touching scene, but the dinosaur..."
Both girls turned to him and saw Anki backing Magnus up against a tree, butting him with his head and waving his tail aggressively.
"What's going on? He's been agitated but never threatened me,"
Amy said. She threw her arms around the dinosaur.
"What's wrong, Anki?"
"Anki,"
Magnus mouthed to Helen, who shrugged her shoulders in mute wonder. The Ankylosaurus still hissed threateningly at Magnus, but had stopped advancing.
"Why is he so aggressive towards Magnus and so protective of me?"
"I have a theory, but you're not gonna like it," Helen said. "Which one of us won't like it?"
Magnus asked.
"Both, probably."
"You definitely,"
Helen said, trying to be precise. Chapter 12.
"Helen, we need to get out of here. What's your idea?"
Amy pleaded.
"I think the Ankylosaurus, Anki as you call him, is in heat."
"What?" chorused Magnus and Amy.
It's protecting Amy and treating Magnus like a rival. I think it's going to be aggressive and violent towards Magnus and maybe not let Amy leave till... you know.
I am not fucking a dinosaur, Amy declared.
And I wouldn't let her, Magnus put in.
Fuck you, Amy said. Since when do you think you get to not let me do something?
Is this really the time for another feminist tirade? Magnus said wearily. I was trying to be noble and say I wouldn't let you sacrifice your body for me. Why do you take everything I say in the most offensive way possible?
I don't know, since you fucked my sister?
All this arguing agitated Enki further, who had shrugged off Amy's hold and was again butting his head into her ex-boyfriend's chest.
That's starting to hurt, Magnus said.
Don't, commanded Helen.
Don't what?
Put your hands up or make any move to stop Enki.
Why the hell not? Asked Magnus.
Because he'll kill you, Helen explained.
Good point, Magnus said, letting his arms fall limply to his side.
I don't think you have to have intercourse to render him passive. Just encourage his release.
A dinosaur hand job? Asked Amy incredulously.
Hand jobs, Helen corrected. They have a hemipenis, double-sided, and I think you need to work both sides at once for maximum effectiveness.
Maximum effectiveness being...
rendering him passive so we can get the hell out of here, fascinating as this place is.
My girlfriend is not giving a dinosaur a hand job, Magnus protested.
Not your girlfriend, Amy said.
And why are you naked?
He asked, finally focusing on that fact, as it had been a stressful and frantic reunion.
And you're bleeding.
He tried to go to her, but this led to growling from Enki, and he retreated.
On the other hand, if Amy's okay with it, I withdraw my objections.
Amy? Helen asked.
Well, I always said I love dinosaurs, just never thought I'd ever actually have to love a dinosaur.
She knelt beside Enki, stroking his side and speaking softly to him.
Well, where is it? She asked Helen.
I can't believe this is happening, Magnus put in.
Enki made throaty, happy sounds.
Watch out for his tail,
Magnus said, and Amy could hear Helen backing away. The organ grew in her hands, and she continued stroking.
Is there a right way to do this? She asked Helen.
Just do what you normally do. I'm sure you've done this before.
Magnus snorted.
What, jerked off a dinosaur? No, I haven't, Amy said.
No, jerked off a possessive, primitive, barely sentient creature, Helen explained.
Oh, that, yeah, of course. But it was never resemblant of Darth Maul's lightsaber.
She continued her ministrations, running her hand firmly up the shafts and lightly over the barbed heads. Enki grew more agitated, and she began to worry he'd accidentally crush her.
I think speed is somewhat of the essence, Magnus said.
You men always in a hurry to finish, Amy said ironically.
She could hear Magnus fuming and smiled wickedly. She started to wipe her hands in the brush when Helen's voice cut in.
Slide out now!
Forgetting all about her hands, she slithered out from partially under Enki just as his body totally collapsed to the jungle underbrush. She lay collapsed alongside the dinosaur as Helen and Magnus ran to her. She wiped her hands on the mud and brush, cleaning them off as Enki made throaty snoring sounds.
Honestly, you men, all the same, she said.
Epilogue.
So you and Helen think you can use the DNA sample on my hands to clone another Enki?
Amy asked Magnus a little later.
Magnus tried to focus on her question, but she was wearing only a spare lab coat, which did little to hide her fabulous figure. Had she always been in this good shape?
She snapped her fingers at him.
Eyes up here, she said.
Embarrassedly, he tried to focus.
Yes, we do. Which might sound a bit Jurassic Park, which I said I wasn't interested in earlier, but that was before we had the freshest genetic sample anyone's ever had for a dinosaur.
Glad I could contribute in my humble way.
It might be the greatest advance in modern paleontology history, he hesitated. And you probably saved my life.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you, he said.
You wouldn't have been in danger if you hadn't come looking for me, and if I hadn't run off in the first place.
I'm so sorry I built that damn portal machine. I'm going to break it into...
Don't be sorry about that. It was amazing. I mean, not every part, but I got to see a dinosaur. I got to touch a dinosaur. That's better than SeaWorld. Better than everything. All my life I dreamed of dinosaurs, of seeing one for real. And then you weren't there for this, but I saw an actual dinosaur fight. Thank you.
She squealed and leapt into his arms. Magnus was completely unprepared for this spontaneous affection, mentally or physically, and fell over backwards with Amy ending up straddling him. And he was uncomfortably, though happily, aware of her freshly showered, mostly naked body atop of his most intimate parts. Tenderly, Amy crossed the distance and kissed this strange, wonderful, arrogant, frustrating man who had ripped a hole in the world for her. It was a good kiss. As she'd noticed earlier, he had very sensual and talented lips. Since Helen had gone home to get some more equipment and some spare clothes for Amy, they were alone in the lab. She decided to put her mostly nakedness and the privacy to good use and slid up along her body, her naked pussy framed by the white lab coat only inches from his face.
"Does this mean I have your forgiveness?"
he asked hesitantly.
"This means I'm giving you a chance to earn it," she responded with a mischievous grin.
"Making your dream of seeing live dinosaurs didn't earn it?"
he asked, matching her grin.
"That just got you in the door. Now you have to impress me."
And she lowered herself that pivotal inch, and any reply he might have made was suitably muffled, probably for the best.
Helen and the Evil Elves of the Elder Gods. Chapter 1. Magnus was instantly on his guard. He slid his rear foot back to give himself a wider stance, tensed his arms to block if he had to, and scanned his peripheral vision for danger.
"Why do you look so tense?" she asked. "I just said you looked nice today and asked if you wanted to have lunch."
"Two things. One, you're being nice to me, and two, you're never nice to me. So I figure you're in a good mood because you're about to have me killed."
"Come on, I wouldn't do that. You're still dating Amy and she'd miss you."
"No other reason?"
Magnus said sarcastically. Helen paused in thought.
"No."
"Bitch."
"And I was going to instruct the nice hitman to kill you painlessly, too. Now that's out."
"You don't know any hitmen."
"Hypothetical hitman, then. But I'm sure he's very nice. I'm certainly paying him enough to be."
"Conversations with you are so thoroughly terrifying. We really need to do this more often."
"Well, I did ask you to lunch."
"And I said no."
"No, you haven't."
"Oh, no then."
"I'm afraid I must insist."
"You don't want to insist. You don't have the kind of insistence required," Magnus said, his voice hardening for the first time.
"Of course I do. Don't be ridiculous. I insist on lunch and a good deal more."
"What? You're blackmailing me into sleeping with you?"
"What? Why would I do that?"
"Oh, good. I misunderstood."
"I'm blackmailing you into helping me find a boyfriend in one of those quantum universes with that machine you built. I don't want to sleep with you."
"What?"
"Should I say it again more slowly or louder?"
"No, I got the words. It's the meaning that eludes me."
"Really? You can't understand a girl not wanting to sleep with you?"
"No, I've had that one hammered into me pretty good. Though a significant percentage do. Apparently I'm the right kind of jerk."
"A good-looking one with sensual lips?"
"That's what Amy says."
"She's a good judge."
"So why do you need a quantum universe to find a boyfriend?"
"Well, I don't want a boyfriend, per se. I want an amazing, epic lay."
"Epic?"
"I want to get fucked so hard my knees get weak from the flashbacks for weeks on end."
"Thanks for the unwanted, indelible visuals,"
So post an ad on Craigslist or FetLife or fuckmehard.com. Why start being nice to me and creeping me the hell out?
Don't you think I've done that? I've got a brain. If I'm coming to you and actually asking you for help, it should be clear I've thought through the obvious solutions and have either tried them or discarded them, right?
Fine. So why me?
Because I've got fantasies. An elf or a fairy. Something with long, pointy ears.
A Vulcan?
Live long and fuck off. Not a Vulcan. That's all I need, expounding about logic when I'm panting on all fours.
Again with the visuals. What makes you think I can find these hot elves fairies for you? I've only found dinosaurs so far.
You've only told Amy about finding dinosaurs so far. I know you've found a number of other interesting universes to peer into, like some quantum peeping Tom.
How do you know about that?
Magnus said guiltily. I read your journal. Seriously, you need to take better care of that.
I keep it under lock and key.
That's what I mean. Anybody with a bobby pin can pick a simple padlock like that.
And you think you're going to blackmail me with the contents of my journal?
Magnus was starting to regain his confidence. There was nothing Amy would hold overly against him in his journal. That was just for his scientific observations. He could handle this. Of course not, Helen agreed.
Good then,
Magnus sighed with relief. I'm going to blackmail you with the fact that you were all up on's trying to get with me at the museum Christmas party, the one Amy didn't go to because she was so embarrassed and angry about what you did with her sister.
It was one time. Why does that keep coming up?
That's what she said, Helen interjected quickly.
Magnus turned bright red, and Helen could imagine, if not actually see, steam coming out of his ears. Mistakes were made. I admit that, he choked out.
This isn't about that. I'm just pointing out that Amy wasn't there, and you made some inappropriate advances on me. And I think if I was to tell Amy about that...
You wouldn't.
Of course I would.
Well, it'd be your word against mine.
And whom do you think she'd believe?
Well, you. But she wouldn't know how offensive it actually was.
Unless someone had a complete audio recording.
Well, yes, but how would you?
How would I know to record it? What makes you think I don't record all of our conversations? Digital recorders are so cheap these days.
Are you recording this conversation?
Maybe.
Helen hedged and blushed. Why would you record this? It's you blackmailing me. That can only be bad for you.
Well, how can I review it and make notes to improve my future blackmailing if I don't record it?
You're sick.
I know. I have a problem. I record everything now. I need help.
You want to get fucked into oblivion by an elf from an alternate universe, and you think recording conversations is your problem.
Or a fairy.
What?
Fucked into oblivion. Doesn't have to be an elf, could be a fairy. I'm not picky.
But not a Vulcan.
No. Pointy ears, no stick up the ass.
At least not at first, she said, blushing and biting her lip quite prettily. You look good blushing, he said.
As you said on the recording, she pointed out gleefully.
Bitch.
As you also said on the recording.
Will you stop that?
As you also said on the recording.
I don't remember any of that night. It's all blurry.
Convenient excuse.
No, it's true. Why would I lie at this point? I don't remember anything at all. I mean, I remember getting to the party, looking for Amy, hoping to explain, ran into you, and then everything else is hazy.
Interesting. Almost like somebody drugged you.
Why would anyone drug me?
So that you would act like an ass, maybe, do something inappropriate, and then they would have that to hold over your head in exchange for a favor someday.
Inappropriate, like hitting on you?
Sure, Helen agreed readily.
I mean, that's all that happened, right?
If that's what you remember, sure.
I don't remember anything.
And that's truly a shame.
Did we sleep together?
No.
Good.
I mean, you passed out at some point, but I just got dressed, so I don't really think you could say we slept together in any meaningful way.
What?
Don't worry. I zipped you up. Didn't want you to be discovered with your pants around your ankles draped over the Eskimo exhibit like the head curator was.
What, did you drug him too?
Helen gave him a very meaningful poker face.
What did he do to you?
To me? Nothing. But he was very mean to Amy. Gave her an awful performance review when she shot him down.
He asked her out, but she's my girlfriend.
Really? Jealousy? From you? After you slept with her best friend and her sister? For shame.
You drugged me.
Details, details. Always an excuse with you men.
You drugged me. That's not an excuse. That's a felony.
You say potato.
And you had sex with me. Why did you have sex with me?
Well, Amy seemed to enjoy it, and she usually has good taste.
But you hate me.
I don't hate you. I dislike you. But to be fair, there really is so much to dislike.
You're a sociopath.
Not true. I can empathize. I'm just indifferent to a good chunk of quotidian morality, like many a good scientist before me. And you had a good time, so don't complain.
That's worse.
How was it worse?
I had a good time and I don't remember it. I don't remember you. I got to sleep with you and I don't remember any of it.
We didn't.
Fine, I got to fuck you and I don't.
There's no need to be crude.
You gave instructions to Amy on how to milk a dinosaur. Don't play the innocent maiden with me.
Well, it was worth a shot. Anyway, drugged or not, fucked or not, I have an audio recording of you hitting on me. And if you want me not to turn this over to Amy, you will find me an elf to fuck.
Or a pixie.
Yes, or a pixie.
This is a one-shot deal. I don't want you trying to use this recording for any other favors.
I wouldn't dream of it. I promise not to use this recording to extort any favors ever again.
Did you emphasize this?
Did I? Helen responded innocently with a flutter of her very attractive eyelashes.
Never mind, Magnus grunted dejectedly.
Chapter 2.
Amy wondered what Magnus was up to tonight. Helen said they had to work late together in the lab at the museum. She and Magnus had been back together for a few months now, and she was starting to trust him as much as she ever had, which wasn't all that much. He was cute, smart, and had the sexual morals of a rhinoceros in heat, which wasn't an exact term, as she didn't know the mating habits of a rhinoceros in any specific way, but they didn't seem likely to let a small thing like the concept of monogamy to get in their way. But if he was with Helen, she knew she could at least trust her, and Helen didn't even like Magnus. In fact, she actively disliked him, so for once she felt perfectly at peace. Nonetheless, she found herself cleaning the apartment they shared with a little extra vigor. Maybe she'd go by the lab and surprise them with some cheesecake. Besides, she liked to check in on the little clones of Anki, which were growing bigger every day. She felt a distinct sense of maternal-type pride in the little spiky wonders. They were the literal product of her blood, sweat, and tears. She wasn't sure she was proud of what it took to bring the little guys into the world, but they were here, and they were the fruit of her labors as much as they were of Magnus and Helen's scientific genius and paleontological knowledge. She looked at her phone. Maybe she should head over there now. No, she thought. Give them time. She could trust Helen. She was her best friend. She practically marched Magnus out at Dull Knife Point. Dull knives hurt more. To come rescue her. A few more hours. If he didn't call by then, she was going to march over there. Maybe with a dull knife, just in case.
Chapter 3.
Helen was feeding the baby ankylosauri while Magnus was warming up the machine. Devices that puncture a hole through the membrane that separates the quantum branching universes generally don't handle cold starts very well. Much like a 69 Dodge Dart on a Chicago winter day, they must be treated very gently, or your ass is going to freeze in the snow, wind, and ice, metaphorically speaking.
So, have you contacted a company for funding for this illegal dinosaur cloning operation yet?
It's not illegal, Magnus protested. There's no law against cloning. There's not even laws against stem cell research anymore, now that we don't have a faith-based scientist-hating president anymore.
No, just a faith-based science-hating House of Representatives, and probably soon a Senate. That's bought and paid for.